Well, the word for today is, for we know, and we know that all things work together for good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. All things. Doesn't say all things are good. Says all things work together for good. Praise God. So praise the name of the Lord. That's not my sermon, but I just throwed that in there because I think that needed to be said. And there's another scripture in that same portion of scriptures there that basically says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, but in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's Romans the 8th chapter. You know. And I'm telling you what, creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for that manifestation. Because when the fullness of it comes, they're going to be set free into glorious liberty of being the children of God, all of creation. So we should pray, come, Lord Jesus, come in each one of us. And as he does come in the fullness, those sons of God are going to be revealed and they're going to set creation free. And J.B. Phillips says that the creature was made subject to vanity. And I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to give you the King James first. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by him who subjected the same in hope. And God subjected us to it in hope. And that name for futility there is basically kind of worthlessness, aggravations and all those kind of things. That's what it really kind of means. And the creature is made subject to vanity, and that's what the vanity is. But the Phillips says that creation cannot as yet see reality. Not that it chooses to be blind, but it's been so limited. J.B. Phillips says that. And God has purposely limited it. We don't know exactly why. We don't know all the answers yet. But thank God he knows all the answers. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is Let Us Drink of the Water of Life Freely. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to have your way here today. I'm going to share this little word. It's not real long. It's pretty short. But it's exactly, I think, what we need to hear today. And help us, Father, to know that you're working in each one of us and you're bringing us to a place of understanding. And the greatest understanding that we can ever have is that you've got it all in control. That you've got us in the palm of your hand. No man can pluck us out. And you've started a good work in us. And you're going to complete it into the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the fullness of that day. So praise God. First scripture here is Isaiah 12, 2 and 4 through 4. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You know, in this day and age, you can be afraid of a lot of things. You can be afraid of wars because there's wars and rumors of wars and all that kind of stuff's going on like crazy. If a week goes by where Putin isn't threatening to start a nuclear war, I don't know what, because he's always doing that stuff. But you know what? God's got it all in control. We don't have to worry about that stuff. And it says, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. He is your very salvation. Therefore, with joys shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention of his name, and it is exalted. Proverbs 16:2 says this, Understanding is a wellspring of life, and with him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Proverbs 25 says this, counsel is the heart of man, is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So what do we need to pray for? Remember what I told you a couple weeks ago when I told you that when Solomon prayed, he didn't pray for wisdom. We always say that because he was wise, but that isn't really what it says back there. He prayed for understanding. He said, I pray, God, that you would give me understanding that I might go in and out among such a great people. And I'm going to tell you what, when we come to a place of understanding that he's in control, then you can go in and out of any situation and not fear, because fear has torment. And a lot of times if we find ourselves being fearful of what we hear in the news or what we see going on around the world, don't fear. Know that God, because fear has torment, know that God, perfect love casts out all fear, Scripture says. Okay, Proverbs 25, this is the same verse I just read to you. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but the man of understanding will draw it out. This is in the message here, Proverbs 25. This one says, knowing what is right is like deep water in the heart. A wise person draws from the well within. You know, years ago, I've told you this, I'm coming home from an elders meeting, and I've told you this numerous times, and I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said, Abraham was a type of the father, Isaac was a type of the son, Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. And what God was really letting me know, that Abraham was a type of God the Father, because he's considered to be the father of faith, you know, for various religions, you know, the people in Islam and all them other places, they look at Abraham as being the father of their faith. And we know he is in the Jewish relation, and we know he is in Christians too, because Jesus told them, before Abraham was, I am, one time. And they got really upset with him, because they knew exactly what he was saying, because when he said, before Abraham, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew that when Moses was up on the mount and God appeared to him in that form of a burning bush that wasn't being consumed and spoke to him, told him to loose the sandals from off of his feet, for the place where he was standing was holy ground. And you know, I've thought about that many times, and why did he tell him to loose the sandals from off of his feet? Because he didn't want anything in between him and holy ground. And a lot of times we've tried to put a lot of things in between him and holy ground in our walk with God. You know, traditions of the elders that make the word of God of no effect. Blessed grandma, she was this kind of religion, and bless God, if it's good enough for grandma, it's good enough for me. Well, I got news for you. If it ain't good enough for Jesus, then it wasn't good enough for grandma. Grandma was walking with something on her feet that didn't belong there. But I want you to know that, you know, he told him, he says, Moses said, who shall I say sent me, when God told him to go back to Pharaoh and tell him to let his people go? He says, tell him that I am that I am. And if you really look at the whole meaning of that, he was saying, tell him I am and I will be what I will be. And he is God in every situation, in every circumstance. And Pharaoh didn't have a chance when Moses went back there. He didn't have a chance. Yeah. He didn't right away petitulate. I guess that's how you say it. I don't know if I said that exactly right. But he didn't exactly get in line with what Moses was saying. But you know, God let thing after thing after thing happen. We know all the plagues that hit it, you know, Egypt. And yet, you know, during the midst of all those plagues, God was there in the middle of it. You know, and eventually he did let the people go. And we look at Pharaoh and we look at him as being, oh my goodness, Pharaoh was a mean guy. He was terrible. He was this, he was that. Come up into the New Testament and you find out that in Scripture it tells you that for this very sake, he raised him up. He was only fulfilling what God's purpose for him was. For that very sake, that his glory, God's glory, might be seen in the earth. And his glory was seen in the earth. And you know, the Jews rejected Jesus because if they hadn't rejected him, you know, then we couldn't have received him. Because he came to preach, he came to speak to the lost house of Israel. Now we know in the New Testament we've come to understand that they're not Israel which are all Israel. But in Isaac shall your seed be called, it says. And that means that the natural Israel, there's a natural Israel and there's a spiritual Israel. And guess what? We're part of that spiritual Israel. Because when we received him, we were circumcised in our hearts. And we've been given the incorruptible seed of Word of God, and we've been baptized into him and even into his death, Scripture says. But I want you to know that, you know, in Proverbs where it said there, and this was the message, it says, knowing what is right is like deep water in the heart. A wise person draws from the well within. And when that scripture talks about the heart, it's not talking about this thing beating in your chest. It's literally talking about your thoughts and your mind and all that kind of stuff. And in Proverbs 18:4 it says this, many words rush out like rivers in a flood. Now think about that. What happens when the rivers rush out in a flood? They destroy everything in their way. That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. So really what he's saying is be still and know I'm God. Don't let so many words rush out of your mouth that it becomes like a flood and has a thing of being a destructive thing rather than a thing of peace. But he goes on and says, but deep wisdom flows, and this is out of the message, from an artesian spring. Artesian spring. Now, I don't know how many people are aware of this, but we're sitting on an aquifer. Most big percentage of Fairfield is there's an aquifer underneath us. When I first moved out here down on Tylersville Road, they had a fountain that spewed water 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and had been doing it for I don't know how many years. Many, many, many years. Because I've heard people say my grandmother used to go and get the water there. And it was right down here before you get to Bypass 4. And all that they did was drive a big, long piece of pipe down into the ground until they hit the aquifer. And the aquifer was like an artesian spring, and it sprang up and water came up continuously. That's why when we built this church, we had to build a runoff pond down here, which no, it's not actually a pond, but it's a place where when the water runs off the roof and runs off the driveway and all that, it can go into that place down there and sink back down into the ground and go back down to the aquifer that's under the ground. And I'm going to read to you a little bit what artesian well is, okay? And here's what it says. Artesian well is a well that brings underground water to the surface without pumping it. Without pumping it. You don't have to pump it. Because it's under pressure within the body of rock and sediment known as an aquifer. And I want you to know that as soon as man wanted to run water down through here and wanted to develop all this land, they started trying to make people quit going up there and getting water from the well up there, the artesian well, because that's what it was. And I used to drive by there, and you'd see people up there all the time with empty milk jugs, big milk jugs, when I first moved out here 30-something years ago. You'd see them up there filling them up with water. And the thing about artesian water is it's filtered naturally by the things that are under the ground, the rocks and the different things. And a lot of people would swear by that water. They said it was the best water there was, you know. And people would get jugs and jugs and jugs of it. And as soon as man wanted to develop this area down through here, they started saying, oh, there's bad stuff in that water. It's not good. People shouldn't drink it. Well, people were still going and getting it. And then it wasn't very long that they knocked it down and cut it off, you know, so that people couldn't get free water, because it didn't cost you anything. It was just free. And I, the things of man will always try to shut down the free water in the natural and the free water of God inside of you. Because I want you to know that you, whether you realize it or not, you are an artesian well. The living water of God is inside of you. It's going to come up on its own. You don't have to do nothing to make it come up. All you got to do is open up and let it come. And anyway, man always wants to block it off. But the beautiful thing about it is the water of God is free. It didn't cost you a thing. But it cost him everything, Jesus. When he died on Calvary, he gave his life a ransom for all mankind, that they might drink of the free water of God, the living water of God, the life-giving water of God. You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus was with his disciples and he sent them away to get some provisions. And they basically, and I'm going to paraphrase this kind of, they basically said to him, well, Lord, why aren't you going with us? He said, I have a need to go through Samaria. He had a need. He knew he had a need to go. He had to go through Samaria. See? And he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And when he was coming to the city of Samaria, to the parcel of ground called Jacob's Well, you know, Joseph was his son, and said, and Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey sat upon the well. Now that's the disciples' interpretation of that. I think Jesus sat upon the well because he knew what he was going to do exactly. And and it was about the sixth hour of the day. And there come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat, it says. Then saith the Samaritan woman unto me, how is it that you being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, you would have asked me, basically, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this a little bit, to give you living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where are you going to get this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if they're not sure if Jacob really dug that well or not. I've tried to look at it historically to find out. And I'm going to tell you, when I told you that the Lord spoke to me that time and said Abraham was a type of the Father, Isaac was a type of the Son, and Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come, when He spoke that to me, I began to start really studying into the Old Testament, because I knew God was going to reveal a lot of beautiful truths to me out of that. And as I looked at Abraham's life, Abraham followed the leading of God in everything that he did. He got up and went out into a land that God would show him. He didn't even know where he was going. You know, get up and get out to a land that I'll show you. And his name originally was Abram, not Abraham. And Abram meant high father. Like, high father. That's part of why I know he was a type of God. High father. There's only one high father, and that's God. And anyway, you know, he didn't have any children. So every time that somebody'd call him Abram, you know, he had to feel like they were kind of almost getting in his face, because he didn't have no kids. He wasn't a father, you know. And we know that when he had his encounter with God Almighty, that God Almighty changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means father of a multitude. So that was even getting in his face worse when people would say, hey, Abraham. Because he said, my name's not Abram no more. It's Abraham. Father of a multitude. He didn't have no kids. Well, then there came a time when the angel of the Lord, which was really, I think, Jesus, came and met with Abraham. And he was going to find out about Lot, what was going on over there. And basically, when he came and met with him, he told him that I am thy exceeding great reward. And you know, everybody's looking for a reward of going to heaven on the streets of gold and all that kind of. That's not what it's all about, folks. He is your exceeding great reward. When you've got Him, you got it all. You don't have to worry about going nowhere, even going nowhere, because when Jesus stood in front of them and said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven, and He's standing right there in front of them, you know, that's because he had the fullness of God inside of Him. He was walking in heavenly realms, even in a fleshly body. And you know, I just want you to know that Abraham was that type of the father. And then I started looking into Isaac a little bit, and I thought, okay, Lord, what did Isaac do? You know, I mean, if you can read back in scriptures, Isaac didn't do a whole lot. I mean, you know. But it says in scripture that what Isaac did was he went and redug all the wells that his father Abraham had dug before him. And the enemies had filled them up with debris. Now, when Jesus came and he meets this woman at the well, guess what he's in the process of doing? He's going to dig a well right inside of her. And that's what he's doing inside of you, and he's doing inside of me, and he's doing inside of all. He's going to do it inside of everybody before it's all over with. But that's what he's doing in the Christians' lives. He's digging that well, that artesian well, and you can call it artesian, or you can call it, he's digging the God well inside of you. And as he digs that God well and begins to get all the debris out, the water of life is going to flow freely. And when that water of life flows freely, it's going to begin to remember what is Jesus' first miracle that he did? Cana, the marriage feast at Cana of Galilee. Remember? And what happens? He's sitting there at the feast, and they drank up all their wine. And you know, you get a bunch of people together and they like wine, they'll make short work of it pretty quick. They drank up all that wine. And then Mary, his mother, came to him and she says, they're out of wine. And he basically, it says in the scripture that he says, woman, what's that to me? You know, he knew what it was, you know, but he was just letting her know, I'm not doing this because you said this, I believe is what he was saying to her. And she goes back and she says, whatever he tells you to do, she's got enough insight to know, whatever he tells you to do, you go and do it quickly. And what did they do? They picked, there was six stone water pots there. Six is a number for man in Scripture. Six water pots there. What's she do? She tells them, fill them water pots up. And they don't just fill them up, they fill them up to the brim. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go to McDonald's and get a Coke, Margaret, like, she loves to get Diet Cokes from McDonald's. Because she likes the ice, you know, she likes a lot of ice in her pop. But half the time when they're trying to be generous, they'll fill it up too full. And when you try to put the lid on it, it spills out all over the place, you know, because it's just too full. You have to drink some of it before you put the lid on. Well, anyway, she told him, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So they filled the water pots to the brim. And then Jesus told them, now dip out of it and take it to the governor of the feast. And they took it to the governor of the feast, and he tasted it, and boy, he said, oh, this is good. He said, most people set forth the bad wine first and set the good wine out first, and then when people have drunk a lot, then they put out the bad stuff because you can't tell the difference then because you're drunk, basically what he was saying. And he said, you've saved the best for last. And I got news for you folks. People are going to begin to say that about you as that artesian well begins to spring up in your life more and more and more. Now, we get little trickles of it sometimes, but we haven't got it to the fullness yet. Thank God, I believe we're coming to a place where it's going to get fuller and fuller, to where we can give people the water of life everywhere we go, and whatever we say to them and whatever we do to them, you know. But anyway, so he meets this woman at the well, and he says to her, you know, she said to him, well, you know, I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. We don't have dealings with each other. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked me that I would give you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw from the well is deep, and hence, where are you going to get this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank thereof, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go and call your husband and come back. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you've said well, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands. I know somebody that's had five husbands. That's a lot of husbands. Most of them died, you know, but that's a lot of husbands. And what's the number five for? Means grace. Even the grace of God was getting ready to move in her life. And he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And this saidest thou truly? And the woman answered, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know, even when the world begins to recognize you as what God has called you to be, you know, anytime you talk about Jesus, it's a prophetic word. And said, our fathers worshiped. Now she's coming back, see. our fathers worshiped in the mountain, and and they say, and you say that we should worship in Jerusalem, the place which men is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh. And they're still saying, I know he's going to come someday. Let me tell you what. What does Scripture say? He that confesses that he's already come. That's what we need to do. I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And he, when he has come, he will tell us all things. I love this. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And I believe what he really said to her was this. Jesus said unto her, I am. I am. Whew. Wow. We have to come to the place where we're not only hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. And as we come to that place of being doers of the word, not only just hearers, we're going to find that creation is going to start listening, because they're going to start listening, because that water is going to flow over onto them. And they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, what happened? What's the scripture say about it? We've been studying that back in the fifth chapter of Matthew. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, what's going to happen? They shall be filled. And that word for filled there is not just filled, like, you know, you eat a little bit and you say, I'm done. It means gorged. You know what happens when you get gorged? You can't eat no more. You ever ate so much that you almost can't get up out of the chair and you say, oh, God, I can't eat no more. I'm so full. We're going to be saying that about the Lord one of these days. Praise God. That's a good thing to be able to say. Oh, God, I'm so full of you. I can't take no more. And buddy, boy, I tell you what, I love that song we were singing before. And I love that verse where it says, and I find myself standing where? In the sun. In the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. Find myself standing in the sun. And we're going to find ourselves totally standing in the sun, in the fullness of all that he is. And praise God, creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God when that takes place. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. It truly is spirit and life. It is the water of the word. Let it be turned into that new wine as we send it forth, as people learn to be filled all the way to the top with that water, that it might be transformed into wine, that the merriness and the joy of the Lord can be seen in the earth. And I ask you to bless our fellowship as we go back to eat today. Bless your people. And just give them ears to hear what your spirit would say, and let them go forth and begin to be that artesian well, to where they're not having to do anything to pump it up out of them, but it's just the flow of you coming up to the top. And once it starts, you can't stop it. And let not the things of man clog it up and keep it from flowing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.